You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassis for IFL TV in association with MTK Global. It's an absolute pleasure to be delighted to be joined by Adam Booth. I don't know what that was.
A pleasure to be delighted to be joined by Adam Booth.
I didn't know if I was delighted or I was pleasured, but I'm both. How are you, Adam?
I'm all right. I'm not going to take this serious at all, just to let you know.
Where are you?
What do you mean, where am I?
No, like you look like you're in like a man cave.
It's a TV room.
Ooh, nice. And what's the painting behind your head? Oh, yeah.
No. I did that.
Did you really? Nice. How are you, first of all, Adam?
I'm good. I'm all right. How are you? Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since I was down at the gym. And, yeah, a little bit to talk about. Obviously, you've got a busy period coming up. It's like the curse fight, isn't it? That every time it was re-announced for a new date, everyone was like, oh, when are we going to see this fight? Is it really going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. But touch wood, praise to God, 20th of February, Josh Kelly, David Avanesian, it's on.
Yes.
How is Josh?
He's ready. He's ready. Third time he's prepped for the fight. But we've only got one eye on the... We've got the eyes on the now and the future. We're not looking in the past. And he's ready. He's ready. We're now at the stage now where we can taper off a little bit and just have the luxury of just sharpening and rehearsing and fine-tuning.
How much of a different fight will this be next week compared to if it had happened when it was first meant to have happened?
We'll never know the answer to that. But I can't speak for the other side, but I know that Josh has had, you know, how long now? Almost 2 years of progression. Physically, mentally, technically, and everything else. Avanesian has improved. He's gained confidence winning that European title and defending it. So I think the fight, all in all, is a better fight this time now than it was when it was first made. When it was first made, there was this attitude of, oh, well, Josh is going to win. Josh is going to win because it's the same old, same old. The house fighter gets matched against an opponent, but the house fighter will win. And it's not like that now, you know, because Josh got ill and then the fight had to get cancelled the second time because of COVID and because Avanesian's had a couple of good wins. All of a sudden, that the pendulum of the story has changed a little bit. And that's great because the gain is that much more for Josh.
Is it specifically Avanesian's performances since then that have maybe people's opinions about this have been levelled out a little bit more so? Because when it was first announced, I didn't see this much kind of anticipation over the fight. It's taken its time for it to build.
I think, the fact, you know, when a fight doesn't happen and, you know, one side starts yapping and are unhappy about it, it just creates a bit of noise. And so the noise creates the interest. And as it's gone on, the interest in the fight, because of the noise that's been made about it, grows. And so it's kind of, you know, his side have probably promoted the fight as much as Matchroom have in that sense by creating the interest. And that's good. You know, if there's interest in a fight, if there's interest in boxing, if there's interest in fighters, it means that the thing has more value. And that's the situation we're at now. But that's all in the past, and what we've got 12 days from now is a great matchup and a fight that I'm really excited about.
When a fighter has the amount of fights that Josh has had in their career, people always look for that kind of breakthrough fight, as it's called, the performance and the opponent that kind of propels him onto that next stage. Is this fight and is this opponent?
Well, the fight will give the answer to that story. But for me, Josh's career, we assess it at the end of it when he's achieved what he wants to achieve. And every fight is make or break, because in no other sport does a win or a loss have more relevance than in boxing. And so in that sense, you know, any competitive fight is a breakthrough fight. And it's certainly a breakthrough fight in terms of European and a consolidated top 10 world ranking that, you know, is a big step towards the ultimate goal that he wants. So it's a breakthrough in that sense. Whether it's a breakthrough fight in terms of Josh having to prove certain things, only the fight will show that.
Has he got something to prove at this stage of his career, in your opinion?
When you say to prove, it depends. I mean, prove to who? He just needs to prove to himself.
His critics. He has got critics.
All fighters will always have critics. We live in a day and age where everyone's got an opinion, but it's irrelevant. The only opinion that matters is Josh's and his life and his career. Because when his career is over, the people won't have opinions anymore that are alive. And so all that matters is, for me, Josh's opinion and Josh's career.
Well, February the 20th can't come quick enough. And we're only literally, what's the day today? We're 12 days away. So roll on, Wembley. Okay, let's talk about some of the other fighters in your stable. Definitely one of the most improved fighters of 2020. And I think it was evident for everyone to see is Mr. Harlem Eubank, who's really getting into his own now and looking very impressive, especially with his last couple of performances, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a question of in the gym having to sink or swim for Harlem because of the environment that he's in, not just in terms of the level of competition, but also the level of sparring that he gets. And he's thrived on it. He's proved that he can grow in that level of competition and challenge. For me, there's a lot of subtleties that people won't necessarily talk about, where his understanding of what he is as a fighter and situations and how to deal with them is evolving. And he really is, I'm proud that he really represents my philosophy of fighting. And he's the perfect student for a coach. He really is, because his attitude is always perfect. He's impeccable. He always carries a positive, healthy, strong energy. And you give him one little morsel of something to drill and you'll flip your eyes over at him 20, 30 times and he'll be repeating it. So his desire to want to be the best that he can be aren't just words. The actions that he shows me prove that he wants to be the best he can be. And I'm absolutely delighted that people are starting to talk about him now in that sense, that how much he's improved, because he has, and he's got some competitive fights ahead of him.
Hmm. We'll definitely look forward to that. Like I said, his last couple of performances have really caught the eye. So, Michael Conlon, any updates on when we can expect to see Michael back?
Well, I'm not going to... It's not for me to say the date yet, but it's a matter of weeks away that he's going to be in the ring. And we had a nice period of pre-prep. He then went home for a few days and he's now back for the meaty element of training. And same story as Harlem, really. There's been a lot of things with Michael over the last year and a half that have started to drop into place in terms of him as a fighter. And he's there now. I said after his last fight, if the world title fight gets dropped on the doorstep tomorrow, we're taking it, because he's ready.
Shannon Courtney will rematch Rachel Ball in April. She was actually due to fight this weekend, but she's not, and she'll go straight into that ring on the Conor Ben Samuel Vargas card on the 10th of April.
Yep.
So, yeah, redemption time for Miss Courtney?
I think so. I mean, the first fight was very entertaining. I thought, even impartially, I thought that she did enough to deserve the win, but with such a strong start by Rachel Ball in a close fight, you can't say it's a bad decision. But it was certainly a fight that she's grown from mentally. And I expect a much better Shannon Courtney to turn up for the rematch.
Why isn't she on the bill this week then? Did you too risky?
Oh. Too risky. It's too risky. When you look at the level of opposition that she has to have, you know, there's no easy pick opponents at the moment because boxing's so starved of like the fights that we've missed because of all the stuff that's been going on in the world, and there's so few shows and few opportunities. Promoters don't want to waste those opportunities making easy matches. So it was going to be a relatively competitive fight. And in a competitive fight, it's too much to risk when you've got a world title fight. You don't need to win the semi-final twice. And so made the decision to say it's just not worth it. Because in hindsight, if you turn around and got injured in training or injured in competition in a fight that's not necessarily an easy fight, you're rue that day because you may miss out on your world title fight and it wasn't worth the risk.
And you'll be looking to build on Ellie Scotney's progress from 2020 and bring that into 2021 as well.
Absolutely. Ellie's transition into being a professional fighter had a great start in her pro debut. But in terms of her understanding what her style is going to be as a pro and the things she's going to be able to do as a pro in comparison to the amateurs, I think it's going to make her a standout fighter. I really do.
Plenty going on. So, boxing does return this week. Obviously, Josh Warrington in action this week to kick it off. And then, obviously, Matcham have got consecutive shows over the next few weeks. So, yes, boxing is back, baby.
Are you back?
Eubank?
Are you back?
Oh, I thought you said Eubank.
Are you back?
I will be back soon.
When?
I'll be back, hopefully, in around 4 weeks. Hopefully.
Why can't people see you with your guns and your tats out?
Because people haven't clicked on this interview to look at me. They've... What are you doing?
Screenshot so I can tweet it later.
Thanks, man. Okay, so I do like to talk to you about stuff unrelated to you for your expert opinion, as always. Someone that you're very familiar with, Mr. Joe Joyce, looks set to face Alexander Usyk, according to reports. That could be announced at any point. What chance do you give Joe against Alexander Usyk,
Adam? As good a chance as anyone going into a fight like that could want, because Joe's so big and strong. If he goes about the fight the right way, he can really ask some questions of Usyk in the second half of the fight.
I spoke to you before Joe's fight with Daniel Dubois, and you were kind of one of the very few people that were picking Joe for that fight, and you were very convinced that he did win that fight, and he ultimately did.
Yes. Because Joe, aesthetically, Joe's so easy to criticise, because you can say he's not coordinated, he's not that quick, he's easy to hit, he's slow. There's so many elements that you can add up and criticise him with. But you need to understand that they don't give out Olympic silver medals. In a final, I thought he won. And I've seen firsthand how effective Joe is as a boxer with a jab that has no rhythm to it whatsoever, that it's so hard to read because his jab's not connected to the movements that his body's making. And I know how heavy-handed his jab is as well. So just the jab alone is enough to cause people problems. And then if you stay in front of him too long, you are going to get volleyed with a 17-punch heavy-handed combination, right? And he's got an engine where he just goes and goes. 12 rounds are irrelevant. He could do 24 rounds. So I've known for a while that Joe is a nightmare for any heavyweight in the division, any of them.
We know when Joe first turned professional, because of his age, the plan was to fast-track him. Obviously, his debut was against Ian Lewinson, as people will remember. But the level of opponents he's had so far, regardless of his age, is pretty impressive, isn't it, in that short kind of pro career that he's had?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny, you know, because you talk about Joe's age, but Joe's attributes as a fighter aren't necessarily the ones that are associated with a younger, fresher, quicker fighter. The attributes he has are kind of the attributes that an older fighter will be left with once he comes out of his prime. Do you understand what I mean? That he hasn't got blistering hand speed or incredible reaction time, or he doesn't necessarily move around a lot. And so I think that there is an element of longevity left in him because he's essentially undamaged as a pro heavyweight who's at world level now. Well, he's undamaged as a pro heavyweight at world level. And I still think there's a lot of longevity left in Joe.
Well, like I said, that fight hopefully gets announced relatively soon. Dillian White will rematch Alexander Povetkin on March the 6th in Matchroom's Run of Shows. What happens there, Adam? Does Dillian White get his revenge on Povetkin?
I think the big question there is with Dillian. It was an abrupt knockout last time, and he is, in true Dillian fashion, he's decided to go straight back for the rematch, which is what he does. He's never shirked from challenges in fights, just like he never did in sparring way back in the day. So I'm not surprised that that's how he's going to go about it. And if anyone has proven that they've got the mental capacity to wade into a challenge unreserved and you know, not held back by his thoughts or reservations, it's Dillian. And also, my understanding is that Povetkin wasn't well for quite some time. And at the age of 40 or 41, once you knock someone out of being physically active as an athlete for a period of time with an illness, and they come back, it's all well and good they can perform certain physical actions, but his energy systems would have taken a bit of a battering as well. So if I was a betting man on that one, knowing Dillian, I'd probably have to go with him.
Did you hear an interview that Mark Breland gave for the first time since his split with Deontay Wilder?
I saw some quotes. I saw a few quotes, but you might have to remind me of them.
He was talking about kind of these glove allegations, these allegations of spiking water, and basically, yeah, talking about his split with Deontay Wilder for the first time. So, but I think one of the most interesting things that he brought up in that, or he mentioned in that, is that he used the term Wilder is done. I mean,
done.
Yes. Yeah. I can tell you the exact quote, so I'm not misquoting him. Breland on split with Wilder, part of boxing, I guess, his career is now is done now. So I'm done and he's done. One thing you all say, he's got a lot of power and that's all. Only got power and we'll see how far that takes him. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can say the career is done. It's for Deontay to prove, because that was really the first time that he took heavy punishment in a fight, wasn't it?
Yes.
In the second one with Tyson. And just like a wounded cat, sometimes you don't want to take someone on the rebound of a fight like that because you never know how someone's going to react. Some people come back stronger and more spiteful and more determined, and others, it takes something away from them. And only time will show that. I don't know if you can say he's done, because I personally know Deontay, and he took up boxing, and after a year medaled at the Olympic Games. Just and when you think about the mindset that somebody has to have to do something like that, proves that that's in him. So I wouldn't necessarily go along with the theory that he's done. I look forward to seeing him back in the ring, because he can punch. He's proven that, because he's slept enough good durable heavyweights with those shots, and he's an exciting element of the heavyweight division, isn't he?
He was being heavily linked with his comeback fight against Charles Martin,
right?
Like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know how much weight is in that now, but he was being linked with a fight with Charles Martin, who we haven't seen too much of. He has fought, obviously, since he lost his IBF title to Joshua years ago, clearly. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think about that as kind of his return fight, if that was the case?
It'd be a good fight for him. It'd be a good return fight for him because Charles Martin is a bit susceptible to a right hand. And the one thing we know Deontay's got is a right hand. So I think that would be a good opponent for him.
Interesting. Because regardless of what people think about Wilder now, his return is quite fascinating to see how he comes back, isn't it?
Exactly. It's the wounded cat syndrome, isn't it? You don't, just don't know whether he's going to come back lashing out or not. But I think that's what he's going to do.
Canelo will face Yildirim towards the back end of this month. If he wins that, which is his mandatory defence, a fight is looking likely now with Billy Joe Saunders again for probably the umpteenth time in however long. But talk to me about Billy Joe's chances of giving Canelo problems, and also how capable is he of actually beating Canelo as opposed to just giving him problems?
Certainly as capable as anyone. And Billy's the type of fighter that the bigger the stress or the challenge in front of him, the more he changes his level to what's in front of him, which is why in some fights he's easy to criticise because his level's been lowered by the fella that he just does enough to win. Well, if you want to do enough to win against Canelo, you're going to have to do a lot more than what you've done previous wins. But Billy Joe certainly has that about him. And it, you know, he's a southpaw, he's quick, he's strong, he's durable, he's clever. He can hustle. So of anyone, I think, that's challenged Alvarez, I think Billy Joe's skill set and character is potentially one of the better ones that Canelo will be confronted with. I genuinely think it's a great matchup and he has a chance. But only a fool would say Billy Joe's going to be the favourite in that fight because you can't. You're talking about an all-time great in Canelo already, who's only 30, with the resume that he's got already. So, you know, he's proven himself at the elite level, and Billy Joe's got a golden opportunity to make a hell of an impact in boxing. You think back to, was it 1986, when Lloyd Hannigan fought Don Curry? And no one gave Hannigan a prayer. I didn't. I used to love watching Don Curry. And he went and flipped it on his head. And so hindsight proved that he actually did belong at that level. And I think this fight could potentially have that same element, save for the fact that actually we're talking about an all-time great in Alvarez.
How different do you think Billy Joe Saunders' career would have been had you had continued your relationship with him work-wise?
I think Billy Joe's a winner. So he's got the attitude of a winner, but no matter who he's with.
But Billy Joe has obviously changed trainers since that period he had with you. Probably about three, maybe four times. So, just saying, with a stable trainer, if he'd had one all the way through, obviously he spent the majority of his career with Jimmy Tibbs. But I'm just wondering if you ever think about that. If you had him for a considerable period of time, would his career have been any different?
Don't know, I'll be honest. I've never actually thought about that. And Billy was only with me for a couple of weeks. I think he was only with me for 2 or 3 weeks because it was just a trial period. And there was a lot going on in his life as well. And he felt he needed to move away from home. But it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant what I think might have happened if we worked together. He's a world champion. He's a 2-weight world champion.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been a 3 or 4-weight world champion just because he'd stayed in my gym. Billy Joe's a good fighter. I remember him years ago. I took one of my fighters to spar with him. And I thought that my guy certainly had the size and the attributes to get a lot out of the spar. And Billy Joe was just too blisteringly quick and too clever. And he impressed me right from back then.
A lot of people say that Lemieux was Billy Joe's best win, but is it arguable that it really wasn't Lemieux and it was actually Andy Lee, his best win?
You see, I believe that because Lemieux didn't have, he didn't have the know-how to land the power that he carried as a threat in that fight, whereas Andy's been proven to have that one-punch knockout power and a tall long southpaw. So, yeah, absolutely. I might be slightly biased there, but I agree with you.
Bit of a random one now for you, Adam. Little curveball here for you. What is your opinion on Jake Paul?
Who?
Jake Paul. Don't tell me you don't know who Jake
Paul is. Hang on a second. Honestly, they all blur into one. There's one that fought the English fella, KSI.
That's Logan Paul, his brother.
Okay. Ah, is his brother the one that's trained by BJ?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
Okay, right. Yes, now I'm with you.
Okay.
So, they do morph into one.
He's been very vocal and calling out fights with Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather in recent weeks, branding $50 million checks to Conor McGregor. I just wondered your opinion about Jake Paul. Is it good or bad for boxing? Everyone's got a mixed opinion about him. But
is it good or bad for boxing?
Yeah, because it always gets brought back to whether it's good or bad for the sport, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of people say that him talking about when being involved in boxing brings more attention to boxing and kind of puts it to a wider audience. Other people say...
Yeah, it probably brings a different... I think boxing's doing all right at the moment, but it brings a different audience to it. But that audience is only coming for while that type of character's in there. That only audience is only coming. That audience isn't going to stick around for the next 10, 15 years being boxing fans. Because eventually they'll grow up and have to leave school.
No, so you don't really have an opinion as such about him.
If fighters get paid well, I'm happy. And if he makes somebody, not that Floyd needs it, but if he makes somebody $50 million because that's the interest that he's bringing to it, then good on him.
Yeah. Interesting. But
what weight is he? What weight is he?
Do you know what? I don't know. Because he fought a YouTuber in his kind of first boxing fight, which was in Miami on a Matchroom DAZN card. Then he fought a basketball player.
Like is that the... I saw that's the knockout.
Yes.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, that's now, it. Yeah, that's Jake Paul, is it?
Correct.
Okay, right.
Yeah, that's Jake Paul, the brother, who's... It's all the noises around him in that world. Yeah.
Okay. What, you were going to ask me a question?
No, I wasn't. I was just... you've kind of answered it and haven't, but... Yeah, if...
Oh, no, I said, what weight is he?
I don't know, is he... I don't actually know what weight is. I actually don't know what weight is. Because the people that he calls out are like... all different weights. So I don't suppose in that world that these fights are happening, weight is really a massive issue.
Right.
It should be, but what I'm saying is I don't think it is specifically.
All right. Well,
what do you think Floyd Mayweather, right, weighs at the moment? Like, what weight would you say Floyd Mayweather is now?
No, probably not much, that much over the world weight limit.
Right, okay. So, and then he's calling out Conor McGregor.
Right, it was probably a light middle.
So I don't actually know what weight is in answer to your question.
Let's not furrow our brows too much over this one.
I should have just said I don't know. Okay,
well, yeah, it's all good. If it brings money to boxing, then good.
So from the schedule that Matchroom have announced, aside from Kelly and Avanesian, which is obviously your fight, what fights have more interest to you than others?
Name them.
What do you think?
I'm only looking at... Honestly, I've been literally in a cocoon and a bubble just training. And I haven't paid too much attention. I know that Warrington's fighting Lara on Saturday.
Yeah. Then we got Kellyanne Venetian, and we've got Marco and Ryan Charlton, actually, which is a good fight. Ryland Charlton, sorry. And then we have Lawrence Okolie's world title fight, which should have been on the AJ Pulev card against Glowacki. Okay.
Yeah.
That's on March the 20th. Dillian's fight's obviously on the 6th. We've talked about that, 6th of March. And then Conor Benn's fight against Samuel Vargas on the 10th of April.
So if I was to pick one of those that piques my interest.
Yes.
Lawrence Okolie.
Okay.
He's the way that he throws his shots, that I've seen him throw his shots recently, has really impressed me, because you can see he's heavy-handed, but they seem to be his heavy-handed shots seem to be a little bit more refined as well, and I think his power and his stature and the way that he throws his shots is going to be a problem for any cruiserweight that he touches with them. And so it would be interesting, because it's quite early in his career for a world title fight, isn't it? Against the fighter that knows how to look after himself.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, that one piques my interest.
Okay. Listen, we've spoken about Adrian Fury a million times, but just a simple question. Are you still optimistic that we get to see it in the first half of the year?
First half of the year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's have a chat with your mate. See how that's going. What are we now? February? Yeah. I guess I think a big promotionally, they're probably waiting to see if crowds are going to be allowed back. And if it doesn't look like crowds are going to be allowed back, because a fight like that, you've got to be hoping for 100,000, 90,000. In absence of that, because of the way the world's been going, you can't hang around too long. I think the fight is bubbling now at its prime, isn't it? And there's so many reasons for that fight to happen. And I can't really think of any for it not to happen. And if Usyk and Joyce are fighting for the WBO...
Interim,
that pacifies the only obstacle.
Correct.
And if they wait too long, other obstacles are going to start popping up again.
Correct.
Yeah. I am optimistic.
I think we've pretty much conceded that we're not going to see the first fight in the UK, haven't we?
I don't know.
I think, again,
it's going to go to where the money will dictate and determine where that fight goes.
Mm. Yeah, like you said, the only main obstacle from a belt perspective of having all four belts on the line was the WBO situation, which seems to have resolved itself now if Joyce and Usyk are going to fight for the interim. So,
but if you wait too long, the IBF's going to pop its head up again.
Correct.
The organisations aren't just going to sit around and wait.
It's like trying to keep four girlfriends pleased at once. You just can't do it, can you?
I listen to you.
No, not me.
Gigolo. You look like a gigolo with that vest on.
I'm not talking about me or you. I'm just saying in general, if you had four girls, just trying to, having the same conversation with them day after day and,
I wouldn't know.
No, you wouldn't. I'm just saying. Well, it's a bad analogy. I apologise. Okay, have you got anything else you'd like to add or talk about before we conclude?
I don't think so. Do people know why you're not reappearing for a few weeks yet?
Yeah, I should imagine so. I'll mention it at every opportunity. So, yep.
Excited.
Child on way, en route.
Do you know what it is, boy or girl?
Girl.
It is a girl.
Yeah. You know it's a girl.
Say goodbye to that magnificent hair of yours.
Why? All right, yeah.
Why? Okay.
No, all right. Okay.
Come see me in 10 years.
I know. Yeah, actually, you know a thing or two about the whole father-daughter thing. Obviously.
Four.
You got four, haven't you? Is that what you just said? Four. That's hardcore, that is.
I too used to have a head of black, magnificent hair.
I've seen pictures when you were younger anyway. With your little
tat. Good luck with it. But good luck with it.
Thank you. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your time. I wanted to speak to you because I won't be in fight camp fight bubble next week, but I will be anticipating the build up next week and also fight night on the 20th.
We'll give you a little FaceTime call.
That would be really nice.
All right. Stay healthy and happy, all of you.
Adam Booth, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV, and we'll definitely catch up with you again soon. Best of luck next week. Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.